Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Seth Habagger.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a great start to your day out there, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us here. We got to have some fun today, Seth.
Yes, we do.
We have to have fun.
We have to have fun.
Otherwise, why are we in this studio?
I don't know.
Why did we leave our homes?
Why? Why did we go out in this cold?
It makes no sense. It's borderline bonkers, ridiculous, all the terms.
It's insanity.
It is true insanity. Mm-hmm. And that's part of why we're in radio.
Yeah, that's true.
Is because of the insanity aspect.
We wouldn't be in it otherwise.
No.
For sure.
I don't know if many people understand this or not, but you technically can't work in radio unless you're little crazy, little off.
Little couple of marbles are off
A couple.
Yeah.
There's a big difference of you know, good weird and creepy weird. we walk that line.
Yes, we do.
It's a Friday show a holiday, everybody. That's what it is.
We're loopy.
We have got some great stuff for you this hour. Of course, we'll get into our National Day of Calendar. Seth and I, this hour, are also going to go through our day in music history.
Yeah.
Have some fun with that. Got some other great ones for us to get into this morning as well, Seth. A little bit later in the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Have some fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
And a little after that, we're going to make a new Star of the Day with our friends from Culver's.
All right.
Christmas-themed edition, our final one our Christmas-themed edition for Star of the Day. Looking forward to that. And we're going to go over our 30 Hours of Christmas here in a little bit. 9 o'clock hour, That Ain't Right Stories, Good Stories of the Day, all of that. We will lead you into Playmakers today.
Yes.
An extra innings edition of Playmakers.
Extra innings, overtime, whatever you want to call it.
Well, we will not be in the studio next Monday, or next Friday, actually. But next Monday, we will, of course, won't have any of our live shows here.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, well, let's just move Playmakers there. And that way we don't have to, you know, ask any guests to come in on a holiday weekend for Morning Magazine or anything.
Or a day like today.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we didn't know it was going to be this cold, of course.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Still.
Pam and I thought that would be a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to work it out. Seth doesn't mind hanging out with me for an extra hour.
Not at all.
And we are looking forward to taking your phone calls during Playmakers. We
yep.
don't normally get 2 days a week. So,
yeah.
You know, we got plenty to talk about sports-wise.
Oh, man.
We could spend the entire hour talking about MLB free agency. I mean, we got plenty to talk about.
There's lots to talk about.
There's a lot to get in there. So
yeah.
We're going to have fun with an extra edition of Playmakers, extra innings edition today. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out.
Yeah.
And plenty more coming up throughout the show. It's Seth and I together. It's live radio. Who knows what's going to happen? We're looking forward to hanging out with you this morning. I gotta start somewhere, though. And I hate to start here because I feel like it's the lowest hanging fruit there is.
Uh-oh.
On a day like this.
Okay.
But it's I don't want to just talk about the cold.
All right.
I want to talk about how our interactions with people that we don't really know, like strangers, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the gas station, I grab my coffee, and first things that they're saying, you know, it's cold.
Yeah.
It is so cold. I can't believe how cold it is. It's the phrase that we use so often. I can't believe how cold it is.
Mm-hmm.
Really? You really? Can't you? Because I feel like we knew this was coming. I feel like we understand what cold is.
We're living in it in this very moment.
And you
can't believe it?
Did you just move here? Literally like 5 seconds ago. Like, how else do you not comprehend how cold this cold works?
Right. Right. I know. I have some new neighbors, and they have not lived. I mean, he lived in Texas for many years.
Mm.
And so now he can say, because this is his first winter up here, he can say, wow, I can't believe how cold it is. And that would be okay.
Yes.
But if you lived here for any period of time over any one winter, you know how cold it can get.
It is such the easiest, like, easiest route for us to go with.
Exactly.
It. Hey, pretty cold.
Yeah. It's a great conversation starter, though. You gotta give it
absolutely.
That, you know.
Most definitely is.
And it's just a variation on, man, it's cold out there. That's all it is.
It's all you can do.
Yeah.
Am I actually like looking at this the wrong way? Are our brains so frozen, so cold, that's all they can come up with?
Like, you know, I wouldn't doubt it, man. I think that might be something.
I think there might be, actually,
there might be something there.
Like
yeah.
Well, we know that we don't.
We just don't operate the same when we're cold.
No, we don't.
Our brains, our bodies, we understand that scientifically. So I guess it would make kind of sense that small talk-wise, where our brains like creatively shut down,
yep.
and where we could ask, man, did you hear about that breakthrough we had? And they're like, no, it's really cold out.
Yeah, but we just discovered there was a... No, it's cold.
I mean, that's really great what NASA just did, but yeah. Did you feel how cold it is out? Yes, I have felt the cold. I'm from the Midwest.
Yes.
I want to get into our 30 hours of Christmas. Before we do that, Seth, mm-hmm. Melissa and I, Terry and I, we've all been able to share these kind of memories, talking about kind of favorite family memories,
okay.
holiday memories. Mm-hmm. I ask you, favorite holiday memories. Doesn't necessarily have to do right with Christmas, maybe around Christmas or anything like that. Do you have anything that jumps out right away to out of your mind?
Christmas memories, they all kind of bleed together for me. So I can't remember like a specific one, but I can remember the I guess you call it like the it's not a ritual, but it was a routine. We tended to do the same things growing up. Mm-hmm. Either we would always go to church at the same time in Christmas Eve, and then we'd either go to one or both grandparents. So that was always the thing. We would always visit the grandparents. And the rest of the extended family, of course, would be there every year. So there's nothing specifically. I have fond memories of all of that, of course. But I shouldn't say that, because at the one family, there was always lutefisk.
Oh.
And I don't have very fond memories of having to eat that, because we were all forced to eat it.
So
that's not a great one, but although again, good story, I can tell. Remember that lutefisk?
I've never had it, but I've smelled it. Yeah. I've smelled it like down the street.
Yeah.
There was a deli that you would like bring it in fresh or whatever, especially mm-hmm. this time of year.
Yep.
You could smell it through the whole block.
Yes.
There's not many things that could beat out all the other like ethnic foods that were in that neighborhood and everything. But man,
the smell totally would dominate anything else. Man,
yes.
I don't care. If you were boiling rotten cabbage, the lutefisk would cover that up.
That's a really that's a fun memory. It's a good memory.
Yeah.
I was lighting the menorah with my mother yesterday, mm-hmm. and Chang Mashach, Samach to everybody out there. Happy holidays. And we were talking about Christmas afterwards, of course, because that's our family.
That's,
And we were talking about a Christmas I hadn't thought about, actually. But I was in about, I think I was in seventh, maybe sixth. No, I was in seventh or eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
My father, and I've mentioned this before, I'm not sharing anything I haven't before. He spent some time away, mm-hmm. and he was locked up a couple of times. And this was one of those Christmases where my dad was gone. He was locked up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just my mom, my brother, and I. And my sister, and my mom didn't want to spend the holidays. It was just us up here, really. And my nan and papa were going to be going to Illinois. They'd already left.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom kind of got it in her. It's like, I want to go see my parents. I want to go see my family in Illinois. We decide all of us are going to drive down there. My mom has never made this drive by herself.
Ooh.
And she's got, me at, 14, maybe? Mm-hmm. My brother and sister, 5 years apart
yep.
each. We're all crazy. So we drive down there, and I'm in charge of the map. And that's what my job always
was. The navigator,
was.
Yes.
Yeah, I was always that guy. Now, my papa, I did this for all the time, but mm-hmm. he didn't really need me. My papa was a truck driver.
Right.
It was mainly give me something to do, make me feel like I was actually doing something. And I believed him, by the way.
Of course you did.
I wholeheartedly believed that I was actually doing something while holding that map. We make this trip, and as we're driving, we realize it's snowing bad. This is crazy. We don't find out until we get there that it's actually one of the worst storms that we've experienced in this area at the time.
Wow.
And it was even worse in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crazy drive, and all these different things happen, not getting lost necessarily, but just it taking longer than expected and, mm-hmm. and all these things. And we get to, we pull into the parking lot,
mm-hmm.
and my mom pulls in, stops the car, and she has this moment where she's been white knuckling it, and she's, she's got the three kids, and I can't imagine all the stresses and worries, the holidays, mm-hmm. Going to see your family without your husband and all the stresses that can bring, mm-hmm. and all the questions and all that stuff everything. And she looks over at me, and she goes, I think we should turn around. I don't know if this was the right idea. And we laughed hysterically. We were all so tense. We were all
what a release.
It was just like, yeah, it was a huge release. We all laughed it off. We're like, oh, let's go inside and warm up. You know? Yeah, we went inside. We had a great time. We actually had a really good holiday. It was good to see everybody. It was family that we wouldn't have seen otherwise.
That's great.
I'm still to this day so proud of my mom and how well she did getting us down there and all that.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
If you could have seen the look on her face of she, you would think she's an actress because she went from complete like stress, fear, all these different feelings to just like, you know what? Enough. I'm here. I'm gonna join my
made
family.
It. Yes, yeah. Excellent idea.
Enough of this.
That's great.
And I think it actually. I think that's really where a lot of us want to be, or should be, or could be.
Mm-hmm.
With there's so many stresses, so many tensions, running into family maybe that you don't see all the time. Maybe you don't always see eye to eye with all these different factors. Don't matter.
No.
Don't matter.
No.
Like, just let it go. It really, what is really a hill worth dying on when it comes to any of these things?
Yep.
If you and Uncle Joe get into a political argument, you guys going to fix anything? You going to solve anything? Anything going to really change?
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
You're just going to be grumpy and both be sitting there, and it's going to be awkward at family dinner.
Exactly. Everyone else will be tense and, yeah.
Treat each other with some grace.
Yeah.
You know, give each other a break these holidays. You know, at December 26th, you want to call up Uncle Joe and like, hey, by the way, Joe. Like, go right ahead.
Yes.
Whatever, you know?
Yes.
But for the holidays, at the very least, if we can't give each other grace at this time, mm-hmm. what are we doing here?
Yeah.
What's the point of all this?
That's right.
We mentioned we will not be on the air on Monday. We
yep,
do have, of course, our famous 30 Hours of Christmas
mm-hmm.
Coming up. We are so excited about this, especially in years past. It's kind of... you know, in the audience, I think would agree with this. I think our staff would agree with this. Kind of the same old, same old. We've done the same thing year after year with our 30 Hours of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Not this year.
Mm-mm.
We changed it up a little bit. By we, I mean Chuck.
Yeah, that's right.
Chuck worked really hard on this one.
He did.
Know how much it meant to him and everything. So I want to go over our 30 Hours of Christmas, give everybody a preview of what's coming up.
All right.
Before I do that, here's something else that's kind of new. We got sponsors. Our 30 Hours of Christmas programming is proudly brought to you this year by our great friends at the Culver's of Wisconsin Rapids, Doorworks, Paper City Savings, State Farm, Rosemary Pitsley, Edward Jones, Sharon Zeman, and Felt's Family Dairy Farm and Dairy Store. And a huge shout out to all of them mm-hmm. for helping us make this happen and giving our audience that 30 Hours of Christmas. Seth, let's get into this. How do our 30 Hours of Christmas kick off?
Well, it starts at noon. I think it's a little odd. An hour earlier than it used to be.
Yeah,
I think it started at 1 on Christmas Eve. It is starting at noon on Christmas Eve, and we are kicking it off, right? A two-hour show of the Sunshine Polka Show.
How about that?
Tim put together a two-hour show just for Christmas. We are super excited, and it's perfect. That's the normal time. Saturday at 12 is when it starts, so we've got a two-hour show. It's going to be so much fun, and we're going to be going through some of the classics there. We've got some old-time radio shows coming up. We've got some Fibber McGee and Molly. We've got Fibber cuts his own tree. That's going to be. I think I've heard that one. That one's
Fibber
really funny.
Cuts his own. I gotta listen to that one.
Yes, Jack. Couple of Jack Benny shows in there. Some good. Jack Christmas shopping was always a was the one of the best episodes every year.
There's a handful of entertainers that hold up. That you still listen to, and they still are funny. They still hit the mark.
Yep.
Jack Benny, I don't care if it's 3,040.
Yep.
Jack Benny will still be funny.
He will always be funny. He was like, and you know, if any time you get a show with Jack Benny and his fame and he is the clerk, no matter where he is, it was always Frank Nelson. Yes. I mean, how much fun is that?
I've heard Eric Idle and John Cleese say this is part of where their influence came from with a lot of their bits on Monty Python.
Monty Python
is those
really?
Early Jack Benny bits.
Oh my gosh, that's so classic!
You might be able to hear some of that in there.
Interspersed between these, of course, will be traditional Christmas music. You'll be having a lot of that as well. At around 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve, we'll have "Twas the Night Before Christmas." It's going to be great.
That's a good one.
After that, at 10, we've got a Christmas Carol. And then starting at 11 p.m., we do have Handel's Messiah in its entirety.
Yes.
Played.
And I do believe that's the version with Carl
opening,
correct?
Carl Hilke's introduction will be on that as
well. Yeah, that's a tradition around here, and I don't think that's going anywhere anytime soon.
No, it's not. And then through the night, we've got more Christmas music. We've got a variety show. And then at 6 a.m., Christmas morning, it's a replay of the Sunshine Polka Show.
Yeah.
2 hours of Christmas polka music. Oh, How much fun is that going to be?
That's some good stuff.
Right? I know I am going to be awake then because I've got kids.
Yeah, right.
And I think I'm going to have to throw that on just to get our Christmas morning going.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, later on, we've got more classic music shows. This is interesting. At 8 a.m., there's an NBC dance party with Benny Goodman, the Benny Goodman.
Nice.
And then a show with, now this is amazing, Kate Smith, the singer. I don't know if many people remember her anymore, but she had a great voice. Great. And Jackie Gleason. Kate Smith and Jackie Gleason. I never know they did something together.
Yeah. Jackie, one of my all-time favorites.
Yes.
One of my biggest influences, Jackie Gleason. I have to definitely check that out. I don't think I've heard that before.
And then throughout the afternoon, we've got more classic radio shows, Christmas Carol again. And then at 4 o'clock, here's something new, which the only reason we're doing this one is because of one of our new sister station or one of our network stations that we have here. We're going to be doing the Cinnamon Bear, which was a classic Christmas story that came out, I think, in the 50s radio show. Our friends out in Richland Center have been playing this for 50 years. Oh. Every Christmas for 50 years.
Wow.
So we decided to say, hey, you got it? We'll play it too. So we're going to put that on there. I don't think we've ever done that for 30 hours of Christmas.
I'm certain we haven't, and I don't know. I know what that is. I have never heard of the cinnamon bear. I've never. The cinnamon teddy bears, like those the cookies.
The teddy grams.
Yeah, that's all I can think of.
It's a Christmas story. It's a classic. So tune in if you haven't heard that before.
I definitely will.
And then at 6 o'clock, we've got Seth Face of the Music. At its regular time,
That's
right, 6 to 8 on Sunday, woo! Seth Face of the Music. We've got 2 hours of fun Christmas stuff there, music and some comedy bits and all kinds of good stuff. A lot of variety for that one.
Yeah, is that is it similar to – because you haven't done a – did you do a Christmas show last year?
I did a Christmas show last year.
Is it similar to last year?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yep,
all right,
it's
cool.
Very similar.
Cool.
And then at 8 o'clock, Director's Cut.
Yes.
Special Christmas edition of that. And that is going to wrap up our 30 hours of Christmas.
Director's Cut is going to feature the James Gang. We are going to have Melissa in with Seth and I. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to start off with Seth, Melissa, and I are going to give you our top five holidays. We're going to lead that into strange holiday movies, like just, you know, off-the-cuff ones that maybe you haven't heard of or maybe you haven't thought of in a long time.
Uh-huh.
I want to also make sure that we have time for a celebrity Christmas album. I want to talk about that.
Can't wait for that one.
And maybe some other things. We'll see what we have time for. You know, the three of us get together and we can fill an hour on one song. So make sure that we have some fun with that one. And we're just going to have a good show. It's going to be a really fun, tradition around here.
Yeah.
Doing these Christmas episodes of our original shows and all that. Looking forward to it. Cannot wait to bring this to you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, 30 Hours of Christmas programming brought to you by Culver's of Wisconsin Rapids, DoorWorks, Paper City Savings, State Farm, Rosemary Pitsley, Edward Jones, Sharon Zeman, and Feltz Family Farm and Dairy Store. Big shout out to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Stick around, everybody. Seth and James here. We're going to take you to our National Day of Calendar in just a little bit here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here at WFHR. Seth and James here at 7:25. Time to get into our National Day of Calendar for this December 23rd, 2022. It is National Roots Day.
All right. Let's groove. Oh, not those Roots.
No. Oh, I thought it was the band.
Yeah, it was the band.
They are really good. The Roots are a really good band. Many people are uninterested in where their ancestors came from until they start researching the topic deeper. Mm. And then suddenly it turns out that the family history has a long and fascinating one. And they become obsessed with finding out everything possible about where their forefathers came from. And they talk their ear off to anyone even remotely interested. Maybe they were related to a famous person who made a significant discovery or took part in an important battle or other historical event, or maybe not. People have been migrating to all different parts of the world for hundreds of years. Thousands of years.
Thousands of years,
hundreds
I would say.
Of years, yeah. Thousands of years. I cannot think of anything as interesting as your own story. Mm-hmm. And your story all starts with your origin story, your
right.
roots. We all begin somewhere. I can't think of many things that compete with your personal story. I think that it's so vital, so important, and everybody has a story to tell.
Just to give you an example, this is a favorite story of that my family. My mom does a lot of genealogy that she found from her family. So my mom's maiden name is Bush. Yes, my mom's maiden name is Barbara Bush.
Oh, my gosh.
But so she was doing some genealogy on the Bush family, and she was searching a couple you know, generations back. I don't know how many it was, two or three. So it was a ways back. It's kind of a funny story, but it's also kind of a dark, just a little darkness to it. One of her ancestors, again, his name was George Bush. I mean, his name was George Bush. I can't make that up.
Nope.
Anyway, they found a newspaper clipping of him. And unfortunately, it was like for he was 80-some years old, and they threw a surprise party for him. And you've seen it in the movies.
Yeah.
The surprise was so much, he had a heart attack and he died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And it was in the local paper. They had a story about it in the paper. We found it. It was like, oh, my gosh.
Well, I suppose in their defense, you know, you see that in, like, movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you don't actually hear about that really happening.
It actually happened.
That is rough.
In my family. So, I mean, maybe that's a great example. I mean, we would have never heard about that story if my mom hadn't dug up this stuff and this really interesting, you know, family stuff that happened.
Yeah, is that the origin of that? Like,
maybe
whole
it
thing,
is
like, happening. Like, that's the first time that happened. Like, I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah,
there is so many different parts of everybody's stories that are really interesting. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool when your kids get older and they start asking these questions, and you start talking to them about these things. And Bria, my mother, and I were talking about for my mom's side of the family and the Russian Gypsy Jew, that what that means and why was it always so important to say Gypsy Jew and where that stemmed from.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about the Chiz last name, which is the, you know, original name of my family. And
right.
That side of the family, I should say. Mm-hmm. There's so many cool layers to these things, and everybody's got a story. Everybody's got one. I think it's a great day to look into your roots, especially why you're not going outside.
Come on. Find out about your family.
Look into it a little bit.
You'll never know what you'll find there.
It's Festivus. Everybody, it's Festivus. What are you doing? Why are you letting it go? Go celebrate Festivus. Are you ready for Festivus? Do you have everything you need? Are you ready for... Everyone likes to enjoy the holidays in their own special way, but one holiday stands out more than the rest. Festivus, a holiday that seems like a joke because it is.
Yeah, it is a joke.
But in all reality, it's a popular holiday growing through the masses in the United States.
Yep.
And by growing, I don't know the exact numbers of this or anything like that.
Yeah.
The date was created by the late author Daniel O'Keefe. Daniel was an American writer who worked for Reader's Digest for 30 years. A great writer.
Mm-hmm.
Festivus is a bit of a family affair because it was actually Dan O'Keefe's, Daniel's son, who made the day popular by making it the focus of an episode of Seinfeld in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
One of their classic episodes. Maybe you can make the argument, maybe their most classic episode.
What, you know, I didn't realize. So the guy that invented it, was his son a writer on the show then?
Yes,
is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Him and Larry David were good friends, and he had told Larry about this, and Larry thought, oh, we got to do something. With this. The original way that I believe they were going to do it was with Jerry's family. And they decided, no, Jerry Stiller, that's the guy. We got to have him lead this.
Oh, gosh.
Because you've got a guy like Jerry Stiller on the set. Think about this. Jerry Seinfeld, Jason Alexander, her name?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Thank you, God.
You feel bad now.
Yeah. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. All these great co-stars that would come on throughout the years and everything. And none of them, all of them, every single person looked up to Jerry Stiller, and none of them were nearly as talented as Jerry Stiller.
Yeah.
And I say that with all respect to everybody involved.
Yes. Jerry Stiller is one of the best.
This is not something we're even talking about if it's not Jerry Stiller.
You're right.
We're doing this. It's not. His excitement and his anger and his God, there's only one.
Did anyone play angry better than Jerry Stiller?
No.
I don't think there is.
I don't believe in human history anybody has ever done angry like Jerry Stiller did. Whether it is feats of strength or airing of grievances. The Festivus of Festivus Miracles.
Yeah.
The airing of grievances is one of the greatest ideas.
That is
even
good.
Though I just got done telling everybody to let it go and not do that. But that's Christmas that we're talking Festivus.
Just Festivus. Completely different.
Completely different.
Completely different.
I like that. That's a fun one. That is a good one. Let's see here. And that's it for today. Let's take a quick look at the 24th
year. Yeah, this is good.
National Eggnog Day is tomorrow.
Because it's you know, another day tomorrow, Christmas Eve or yeah, something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It is Christmas Eve tomorrow. Yeah. That's right. And, of course, Christmas Day, I just wanted to see if they put...
Did they have anything
on rude enough to put anything else on Christmas Day? Our computer is not going to work.
Okay, come on, computer.
Everything is frozen. Yeah. Everything is frozen.
Oh, my gosh. There we
Let
go.
Let it go.
Did we get
no, did I just do a Frozen reference?
You did.
And I didn't even mean to.
You did.
Terry, you brat.
Wow.
That's all Terry's fault. That's not me. That's Terry John's fault. Well, I even said her last name just in case anybody wasn't. I had to be specific.
They know who you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Okay, so on December 25th,
yep.
They don't put Christmas on here, but it is National Pumpkin Pie Day.
Which makes complete sense. It really does.
You know what? I'm going to eat some pumpkin pie.
Yeah, why not?
I love pumpkin pie.
Hey, man.
I have the head of the pie council here. Are you cool
with
this?
Well, you know, it's all part of our continuing campaign to make sure every single day, 365 days a year, has some kind of pie for that day. Yes. Okay, so this is an ongoing project. We're still working on it.
I got
so, but get, you'll be seeing more and more coming up here. All right.
I got a feeling he's right about that, everybody. Yep, I feel pretty confident about that. We are going to take a break here. We're going to get to Melissa's news when we come back. We're going to have some fun. We, of course, got not only an opportunity for you to qualify to win our basket from our friends at Quality Foods. Quality Foods has their New Year's basket giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be giving you an opportunity to qualify for that. We're also going to get into our day in music history. Seth and I got some fun right there for you.
Of course.
All that coming up for you right here on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody.
You put the brandy, baby, dress the tree. I got the table looking Christmassy. Wrapped up presents, lit all the lights up, it's true.
Welcome back to The Morning Show here on WFHR. In that Christmas spirit, I mean, kind of one of the modern voices of Christmas. You kind of have to have him in there.
He is. And I like that song because it's different. It's called The Christmas Sweater. And it's actually, for him, it's kind of a little moody. Different for him.
It's a little more moody for him. Mm-hmm. It takes a second. But yeah, yep. Michael Bublé, one of those voices. Welcome back, everybody. We've been having a lot of fun the last couple months, really, with our friends at Quality Foods.
Yeah.
We've been able to give away a turkey. We gave away a ham. Mm-hmm. And now we're giving away a basket. It is a New Year's Eve basket from our friends at Quality Foods IGA.
Mm-hmm.
This is featuring, it's got a bunch of snacks in this basket, some champagne.
Yep.
I have to say it like Christopher Walken. It's some good stuff in there.
Yeah.
All you got to do is call up at 424-2600, mm-hmm. answer some trivia for us, and if you get the question right, and let's be honest, you get even close to it, and boom, just like that, you qualify.
Yep. I think this one will be a pretty good one because this one is more well-known, I think. All so right. I'll just throw that out there. But here is the question for today.
If you have not already qualified, you can qualify right now. Get ready to call 424-2600.
All right. The blank and blank is a drink, and it is a holiday favorite. The batter makes an excellent topping for alcoholic cocktails. A blank and blank. Two words. That's what we're looking for. And I would say, you know, as someone who doesn't drink now, but someone who made these cocktails back in the day when I was a bartender, these are like way better, in my opinion, than eggnog. Way better. Taste way better. That's just my opinion.
I agree with you on that.
And here's a little hint. It has the same name as a pair of cartoon characters, a cat and a mouse.
Oh, God. There you go.
Now, if you can't get that, people, that's a pretty good hint, right?
How many drinks do you know that are named after a cat and a mouse?
A cartoon cat and mouse, that's right.
Cat and mouse. How many? Come on. 424-2600. Let's see if we can get ourselves a qualifier.
All right.
Here. Good morning. What's your answer? Hello.
Hi, it's Tom and Jerry.
Yes, correct.
There you go.
All right.
Nicely done. And
hey, you got Natalie right.
I thought that was you. Hey, Nat, how are you?
I figured you'd say that.
Natalie, how are you doing?
I'm upright and taking nourishment. What more can you ask?
That's right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Natalie, that is so great. We always love hearing from you, and a perfect time to hear from you right from before the holidays. That's
I've
wonderful.
I've had so many times my finger has been itching to call. Something that of Christmas memories and all that kind of stuff.
Do you have a Christmas memory you want to share with us?
All those times when Christmas would be a lot of snow. We lived up on Bull Junior Creek, and it's kind of a lowland there.
Mm-hmm.
So to the south was a big tall hill. We called it Stalin's Hill. And in order to get to the barn, I was probably 10 years old already, 9, 10 years old. And we had to shovel from the house to the barn, and my hat just barely got over the snow.
Oh.
And we had to either freeze milk or throw it.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And when the snowplow came down that hill, we all stood there and cried.
Mm. Mm. Can imagine. Oh,
yeah. Wow.
That's a rough one. Hopefully you got a better one coming up in a couple of days here, Matt. We do appreciate the time. Always appreciate you calling up. It is really good to hear from you. Just hang on the line, Natalie. We're going to get a little information from you. But you are our most recent qualifier for this great basket from our friends at Quality Foods.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. It is always good to talk to you, Nat. I'll talk to you more in just a sec.
You're on from the minute I get up till the time I go to bed.
You are the greatest ever. We appreciate you. We'll talk more in a second, Natalie. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Best listeners in radio.
Really are. The best in radio. That was awesome. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, have some more fun right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. We got Seth and James here, and it is The Morning Show, but sometimes it's our day in rock history.
Oh, that's right.
It's Rock History 101 time, everybody. The show inside the show here.
Yeah.
For our longtime listeners, you guys might remember, this was some that Seth and I used to be able to do together. It was a weekly thing, Monday through Thursday.
That's right.
We had a lot of fun with this show.
We did.
We thought it would be cool to be able to kind of do this when you and I get together and kind of still bring this show back.
Mm-hmm.
And we do this not just because Seth and I are insane about music.
That's right.
You guys out there, you told us you like the show, so we're going to keep doing it one way or another. So let's go ahead and dive into our day in music history. And things kick off on this day in 1940. The Chilites lead singer, or Shylites as they might have been called sometimes, lead singer and primary songwriter Eugene Record is born in Chicago, Illinois.
Wait, his name is Record?
Yep, Eugene Record. Eugene Record is the name of the gentleman, right?
That's awesome.
Oh, girl, I don't care what year you grew up, what day. I genuinely believe that every at least guy, I'm just speaking for men here, had a moment in high school, junior high, something. Where you were listening to this song.
Or it had one of those movie moments.
Yes.
Where you see the girl and all of a sudden this starts playing in your head.
Yeah. Or how about this one? I had this one happen. You see the girl, you're going to go talk to her, and another guy shows up. Then a guy shows up right there. Right. Oh!
Record scratch.
Yes, yes. really incredible singer, songwriter. And again, the guy's last name was Record.
How awesome is that?
Had to get into music.
Into the music industry.
Don't know how much of a choice he really had. Also on this day in 1943, and we are going to, of course, get into some of these more in our birthday and anniversary club, but mm-hmm. they kind of just, they bleed into each other a little bit.
Right.
In 1943, the great Harry Shearer, a.k.a. Derek Smalls of Spinal Tap, is born in Los Angeles, California. Shearer is also known for, voicing a couple of characters on this one TV show, The Simpsons.
The small, barely known cult classic television show,
Principal Skinner, Ned Flanders. I could go on for hours.
Yeah, all the voices he did. Yeah, for sure.
Not only one of my favorite voice actors of all time. Just I think one of the more great comedic moment actors. Like he's got some moments in comedy history.
Great improver too. And I have to say, I don't think he does it anymore. But for a long time, he had a radio show called Le Show.
That's right.
And it was basically just him doing bits, playing some music and stuff. It was very low key, but it was really fun to listen to because, it's Harry Shearer. I mean, come on. He's a really good performer.
I've heard little bits and pieces of those. I'd like to go back and listen to some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let us see here. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now we go into 1964 now. Ooh. And it's an interesting one, man.
Okay.
After appearing on the TV show in Shindig, where they performed their Christmas hit, Little Saint Nick, the Beach Boys' Brian Wilson had a nervous breakdown on a flight to Houston, where they began a two-week tour. Wilson decided to stop performing, and Glenn Campbell replaced him on the tour. How crazy is that?
of all people, Glenn Campbell. Of course, he is one of the studio musicians they used on several of their recordings. Of course, Glenn Campbell was on, I mean, thousands, tens of thousands of recordings because he was such a good guitar player.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Session musician. So that's so cool, though. That is really neat.
The breakdown that Brian Wilson went through, certainly one of the bigger moments in music history when it comes to a lot of these things. But I think the thing that really stands out is so much of what it, like nowadays, like how much that stands out.
Yes.
Like what he was going through, if he was a modern day artist, I feel like he would have grace. I feel like he would, from society,
more. A lot more than he did back
then. There's a lot more sources out. We understand the brain a lot more. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if Brian Wilson knew he was going through a breakdown. I don't know.
Who knows?
We haven't heard a whole lot, you know, about the subject from the art, you know.
From him, yeah. He hasn't talked a lot about it.
I did see an interview where he did talk a little bit about it, but he immediately started talking about his childhood and his difficulty with his father.
Oh, wow.
So I don't think he really... maybe that's where a lot of it stemmed from. I don't know. I know he was obsessed with Pet Sounds, and I know some of the things you talked about with that.
He was also obsessed with competition.
Yes,
from not only the Beatles, well, that was one of the big ones, but also like Phil Spector, those other producers, and it really, I mean, he was wound so tight that it eventually led to what the nervous breakdown that you just said.
Thankfully, was able to come out the other side of it, though.
And do some brilliant music.
Yeah.
Brilliant composer, yes.
I think that part of the reason why that story, that moment is so important in music history is not only because of hey, bring awareness to this. Mm-hmm. Artists go through these things.
They do.
They are human beings like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. That he came out the other side of it.
Yep.
We don't get to see that very often. Usually, especially in music, it's tragedy. It's, you know, they start up here, and then it's tragedy.
And then they fall, yep.
He actually had a comeback story.
He sure did.
Everything. On this day in 1964, this man was born. Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam frontman. Born Edward Louis Severson III.
Why did he change his name?
Eddie Vedder definitely does sound a little bit better.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Especially for a rock person. Yeah.
Born in Evanston, Illinois, but grew up in Seattle, of course.
Yep. Yeah.
I think one of the better singer-songwriters of our generation.
I agree. And very distinctive voice. You know, we've kind of been making fun of Michael McDonald this week.
Yes.
For his distinct voice. Boy, Eddie Vedder has a very distinct singing style.
You gotta grind. You cannot open your mouth.
I was gonna say, if you can do a parody that easy of a singer, they have a very distinctive singing style.
Even flow.
See, you got it.
Yeah, that's good.
David Clayton Thomas too. Yeah,
so dark. Yes, that's another good one. Yes, that's another good one right there. On this day in 1977, Cat Stevens converts to Islam and changes his name to Yusuf Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to share something, and I hope she's not going to get mad at me.
Uh-oh.
Bria has my oldest daughter, Bria, has a wedding coming up.
Yes.
And I was, of course, invited, thankfully, and I'm excited to be able to go to it and everything. Mm-hmm. She told me the other day that she thought of a song that she wants us to dance to.
Oh.
This is it.
Oh. There's a million ways to go. Good song.
I didn't know it that well.
That's okay.
I gotta be honest. I didn't know it that well. I was like, I know Cat Stevens. Oh,
of course, yeah.
I think I know that one. I look at it. I'm like, oh yeah, that one. That's a good one. Good choice, Hud. Good choice. That's a good one. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, father and son wouldn't work. Really?
No, not at all. Not at all. That's a good. It's a nice reference there, though. That's funny. I big moment in music history. Now we've seen many people do something like this on a public level. A lot of athletes have done this since.
Yeah, it's true. Yep.
But we haven't heard, not a lot of musicians that have done something like that, really. I didn't see that very often.
It's usually because their agents say, don't you dare change your name. No one will know who you are anymore.
Yep. Yeah, the biggest, one of the bigger fears is that, certainly,
They'll lose,
for a lot of artists. Let me see where. Oh, yeah. On this day in 1967, John Lennon makes the first concert, makes the first contact with his estranged father, Alf, in years after hearing that he's taken ill. John sends him a get well note and a car so that he can visit his famous son. They actually, John, of course, would write a bit about his father, mostly about his mother, of course.
But, yes.
That was, again, one of those moments where I think that really helped shape him in many ways.
It absolutely did. If you want to, if John Lennon's story of how he grew up is really interesting, and it was very formative, too. You will definitely learn why he did some of the things that he did.
Yeah, yeah.
And wrote some of the songs he wrote.
With union rules ending the practice of lip-syncing on British TV, the popular show Ready, Steady, Go! Broadcast its last show with guests featuring The Who, Mick Jagger, and Eric Burdon.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the intro.
Yep.
Wow.
These wipeout.
They just used wipeout. Yeah. So not only was their lip syncing, but they just completely just ripped off the whole lip.
They couldn't even get their own theme song? Come on, Ready, Steady, Go.
Well, hi there and welcome to another edition of Ready, Steady, Go. And it.
Wow. Okay, so this is The Who. Oh, I...
right. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yes, it is.
Come on.
Wow. I cannot get over how young Roger Daltrey
looks.
Oh,
my gosh.
He doesn't even have the long hair.
Look at that. Look at Pete Townsend there. Look at that, man.
Wow. Ugh. This is definitely before some other influences.
The only influence they had maybe was a pint. You know, that was it at that point. But, you know.
The early music shows, all of them paved the way for MTV.
They did.
And where we would be with music television and everything. But it's crazy, like, how far they had to come to get to that point. Because for every Dick Clark's American Bandstand, there was a show like that.
Yes.
There were shows that just didn't really hit the mark. Didn't do the job. then there's, of course, you know, a show like Dick Clark's American Bandstand, which is, you know, just iconic.
Yeah.
There's a few things. I would say that Soul Train is another one.
Oh, where, for sure.
All the artists. What was the one that Howlin' Jack... Midnight or Midnight Special.
Midnight Special.
Yep. Yeah, another great one that really. But there's like three or four. There was like 90 of those that came out in those times. It wasn't just music producers that saw something with rock and roll. Like, young people like this. Well, I'm an advertiser. What's the most important thing in the world to me as an advertiser? That 18 to 24 bracket. Mm-hmm. If I can get, they like this rock and roll. Give me some of that rock and roll. I don't care. Just give it to me so they'll buy my stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And so all these shows, they really started. None of these shows were made without advertisers.
Yes,
and advertisers saying yes, go with that.
We want to sell records.
In 1978, the guy with the funkiest hair maybe ever, Rod Stewart, asked everybody.
Look at that hair, man.
He doesn't say, "Do you think I'm sexy?" in the refrain. He just says, "Do you?" He says, "Do." He doesn't really. He's not really asking. He's telling you he is.
So, can I? I'm sorry, because you played, it's Harry Shearer had something to do with it. There's a scene, there's a Simpsons episode, where a Valentine's one, where as Ned Flanders, he sings a parody of this song, which has stuck with me ever since. If you think I'm cuddly and you want my company, come on, wifey, let me know.
So good.
I can't get it out of my head. It's there forever.
This video is horrifying.
Isn't it, though?
It is one of the more horrifying videos I've ever seen. And it's not trying to be.
And it's not sexy at all. No. It's very awkward and cringy.
It doesn't look like anybody wants to be there.
No.
It does, especially Rod Stewart. I never caught that before. The title of the song is "Do Ya Think I'm Sexy?"
Yeah.
He's not asking in the refrain. No, he's telling
I'm sexy.
He's like, I am. All right, Rod. No, I'm not going to push back on that. That's fine. That's your business.
That hair, though.
And in 1972, at the Grand Funk Railroad concert in Madison Square Garden, the group's former manager, Terry Knight, brings a court order allowing him to confiscate the group's equipment, which he does at the end of the show.
No!
I don't think Grand Funk Rare. I think the Grand Funk Railroad would have been even bigger if it wasn't for all the behind-the-scenes stuff, things with their management, record label stuff and everything.
And their own really behavior, to be fair.
True, very
they
true.
They did some really stupid things, yeah. So yeah.
But at one point, they rival, like, Zeppelin and The Who and all these bands.
In popularity, it, yes, they
like,
did.
Because we're, I think because we wanted an American band so bad. To be at that level, mm-hmm. that and these guys came around in those first couple albums, those first couple of hits, it was
huge
like,
hits. Oh yeah,
mm. Ooh, we got something here. Oh okay, yep. And so you've got Grand Funk Railroad blowing out the stadium before Zeppelin can even get out there and play yep. Ramblin' On or something like that. It's impressive.
It is,
and I just love this song. We'll let this coast us out here. That'll all right. do it for our day in rock history, everybody. Yeah. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Next hour, plenty more great things coming up for you on Morning Show here at WFHR.